name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I remember the first time I first learned the Coptic alphabet, so I could follow with some of the hymns that are being said, and I understood because the English translation was there, but when I learned the Coptic alphabet, now I could follow with what was saying. And the reason I'm saying this to you is because I've been waiting for this day for a long time to share this with you. As a layperson, I couldn't say this, but now in my new position, I can say this. When we say the part of the Thokta Tigom that is Ta Gom Nempa Ismo Pi Ep Choice Afshopi Ni Mish Afshopi Neya. Neya is not a word. Ta Gom Nempa Ismo Pi Ep Choice Afshopi Ni Efsote Reya Bas Afshopi Ni, not Eya. Ta Gom Nempa Ulhamaba Ta Gom Nempa Ismo Pi Ep Choice Afshopi Ni Efsote Rey. It's not easy because they go into each other, but Yanni, forgive me, I've wanted to say that for about 30 years and I finally got it off my chest. So, in the epistle to the Philippians, St. Paul says, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Always looking forward. And if we think back to the last 7 weeks of Lent, it was always a journey looking forward. And our Lord teaches us, and we learn over the years, that looking back is not useful. We look back only to remember the mistakes that we made and what lessons we learned from them, but always looking forward. So if we're always looking forward, and St. Paul is telling us to look forward, and everything in our spiritual life tells us to look forward, why do we keep looking back? Why do we look back at events that happened 2,000 years ago? Why do we look back at events that happened in Jerusalem, or in Bethany, or in whatever story, any cities that were mentioned in the readings of this past week? There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. We don't remember our sins, we remember the lessons that we learned, but we want to learn from the events of those days because they are the foundation of our faith. They are the foundation of our faith. We have so many fasts and so many feasts and so many commemorations that we have to look back in time to learn from them, and they're applicable today. That's the difference. Is that the feast that we commemorate and the events that happened during Holy Week and the events that happened, let's say, on Holy Thursday and Good Friday are not just events that are in the past like a history event or a historical event. It's something that's ongoing in our lives. So we're not really looking back. We're actually living it. We remind ourselves about something that we live all the time and we live through those events, not something that happened 2,000 years ago and we forget. Certain events in history we can all remember. Anybody who was alive during September 11th knows exactly what they were doing and where they were. It's going to be frozen in our minds, always. Anybody who was alive, let's say, during the assassination of John F. Kennedy knows exactly where they were and what they were doing when they heard the news. Those are events that will always, always be in our mind. And these events are always, always in our mind or in the mind of the church and in the mind of the teachings of the church, and should always be in our minds. In fact, every single time we come to pray the liturgy, we are reliving it. We are reliving, and there's so many symbolic events and things that we don't have time to talk about that remind us of his birth, of his passion, of his crucifixion, of his resurrection, all in the span of the 2 or 3 hours of the liturgy. So it's an ongoing, it's not something that we remember from a long time ago. Something very important happened about a century and a half ago. On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918 was the end of World War I. And that day, for a long time, used to be called Remembrance Day because it was such an important event. Now it changed, and now in this country, we remember it as Veterans Day. But it was called Remembrance Day. 2,000 years ago, on the day before his crucifixion, our Lord established another Remembrance Day when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we'll talk about that today because that's one of the highlights of what happened in today was the establishment of the Eucharist, the sacrament of the Eucharist, when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Some of our brothers in other denominations say that it's a symbolic remembrance. It's just so that we don't forget. Our faith is that it is ongoing. It is alive. He didn't just break the bread and offer the bread 2,000 years ago. He is still currently offering his body and his blood. He is thanking, he is blessing, he is sanctifying, he is breaking to this day, not something from 2,000 years ago. Something else very important happened, and the reason we call today not just Holy Thursday, but Covenant Thursday, is because he established a new covenant. If you pay attention in the liturgy, when Abuna is talking about the wine turning into the blood, and this blood, take, drink of it, this is my blood of the new covenant. What is the new covenant? Khamis al-Ahd, huwa il-Ahd. It's the new covenant to replace, if there's new, that means there was old. So the old covenant was something that was established by God. Established by God with Adam and Eve, established by God with Abraham, established by God with his people, the Israelites, established with all his children. And a covenant is an agreement between two parties. And the reason why the old covenant had to be replaced was because we didn't keep our part of it. God, of course, always was faithful to his side of the covenant. But we were not able to keep our side of the covenant. So God said, there will come a time where I will establish a new covenant with my people. This time, a covenant that will be in their hearts, not just written on stone. Something that they will live, something that they will experience day in and day out. Today is Covenant Thursday for that reason, because it was on this day that that covenant was established. On this day, that covenant was established. And that covenant extends individually to each of us. It's not just something that the church does. That covenant is with me, and with you, and with you, and with you, and every single one of us. We shouldn't look at these things as just stories, as events that happened in the history of the church. No, this is a covenant that God has made with me individually. And when I present myself for the body and the blood, I am partaking and remembering and reliving this covenant on a daily basis every single time I take communion. This covenant was instituted by God not for the moment of 2,000 years ago, but for something that continues on and will continue forever. And he said, for every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death, confess my resurrection, and remember me until I come back. Yani every single time we take communion, he is dying on the cross. Every single time we take communion, we are confessing his resurrection. Every single time we take communion, we are confessing that he established his covenant with me today as fresh and as new as it was 2,000 years ago. It is always he who is present. And it's in the Gregorian liturgy, if we pay attention to the Gregorian liturgy, it's even more pronounced because it says, now also bless, all you who blessed at that time, now also bless. All you who sanctified at that time, now also sanctify. All you who broke at that time, now also break. Mish Abuna is the one who's breaking or sanctifying. He is doing it. He is doing it. So he is present and he is reinstituting that same covenant that he instituted 2,000 years ago. It is something that is ongoing, and that's something very, very important for us to understand. When we hear Covenant Thursday, and when we hear the establishment of the Eucharist, these are the things that we should be aware of. In our church, and through the teachings of our church and our church fathers, they have given us so much information and so much spiritual meditation upon these things, and it would be a shame for us to just come in, take communion like it's just something I check off on a box. No, there's something much, much deeper than that. And to understand how deep it is, we have to understand that it started 2,000 years ago, the day before his crucifixion. I mentioned earlier that a covenant is between two people, between two things, not just God by himself or one party by another. In fact, when Abuna selects the hamel, when he chooses the bread, and he stands in front of the congregation at the very, very beginning, and he said, glory and honor, honor and glory to the whole Trinity, the Father, the Son. Remember, O Lord, all those who have brought unto you these gifts, those by whom they have been brought, and those on whose behalf they have been brought. These are the parties in the other covenant. not the spectators that are coming, not people that are just here to take communion and go home, the sacrifice that we offer, the sacrifice that we offer, and the sacrifice that we offer on behalf of ourselves, or the sacrifice that we offer on behalf of those who asked us to offer them for them. It could be in the form of prayers. It could be in the form of petition. It could be in the form of so many different things. The idea is that the covenant is a two-way street. I really hope that this point sticks, because if nothing else comes out of this message today, is that this covenant, and when I attend liturgy every single Sunday or every single time I'm here to pray, I am reliving and reinvigorating that covenant I have with God. One of the things that we dispute with our brothers in the other denominations is the fact that this is something that happened once and that's it, which is actually called salvation in a moment. His Holiness Pope Shenouda wrote a whole book on this called The Heresy of Salvation in a Moment. It's not something that happened and there's nothing else we have to do about it. Halas, God paid the price, he died on the cross, he offered his body and blood, and we just sit back and enjoy the pleasures, enjoy the glory, enjoy all the benefits of everything he did for us. And that is true. We can enjoy it, and we should enjoy it. But that doesn't mean that I have to now relegate my part of the covenant. The covenant didn't end. It began. The covenant didn't end on Holy Thursday or Covenant Thursday. It began on Holy Thursday, which means now I have to continuously participate in it. I don't just come, but I have to always be living it, always have to be re-sacrificing, re-presenting myself, and reliving this covenant that he established with us. Today and tomorrow, God willing, are two inseparable days. The 48 hours that make up Covenant Thursday and Holy and Great Friday are essentially inseparable. Because you may ask yourself, when he said, "This is my body which is broken for you, this is my blood which is shed for you and for many," well, he didn't shed his blood until he was on the cross. So which one is the greater sacrifice? When he broke his body and his blood on the table, or on the cross? It's a mystery that's beyond understanding. The 2 days are so interconnected and so interwoven that the sacrifice covers both days, 48 hours. Of course, there were specific events that happened on each day, but the mystery of this covenant and the mystery of his sacrifice happened throughout both days. In other words, you can say that what God did for us to establish this new covenant was a sacrificial death. The sacrifice on Thursday and the death on Friday. The two are not separate. They're all together. And that's why the church makes us feel throughout the course of this entire week that we're just living one long day. It's not, we say the morning of Thursday or the evening of Thursday. These things are for organizational purposes. But it's hard to remember which Thoktatigom I said Tuesday evening or which Thoktatigom I said Thursday morning. It's we feel like we've been here all week for that reason, because the events are outside of time. The events are outside of this world. These are heavenly events, and they're mysterious events. So I want to stress the point that Thursday and Friday are the two most important days, and it's really hard to separate the two in terms of what our Lord did for us in those 2 days. One last point, and this is one of the things that I should have mentioned this at the beginning. I almost wish that Holy Thursday and Good Friday came at the beginning of the week, because when we get to the end of the week, we're tired and we just want to go home, so the sermons have to be quick so everybody can go home and get ready for another long day. So only 2 more minutes and we'll be finished. If anybody attended the liturgy this morning, or has ever attended the liturgy on Holy Thursday or Covenant Thursday, you'll hear the fraction which is said right before Our Father. When Abuna says the fraction, he is talking about the event of Abraham sacrificing, or almost sacrificing, his son Isaac. And it came to pass in that day, and we don't have to go through all the words, but the words of the fraction retell the story of when God told Abraham to go sacrifice his son. In the last 2 sentences of that fraction, it says that Isaac was a type of Christ, and the wood that he carried up the mountain was the wood of the cross, or a type of the wood of the cross. One thing that's very interesting is that if you go back to Genesis, Genesis chapter 22 to be exact. When you hear God tell Abraham to sacrifice his son, he says, Abraham, take Isaac your son, whom you love, and sacrifice him. Did you know that this is the first time the word love appears in the Bible? 21 chapters of Genesis, the word love does not appear. The very first time the word love appears is right here, when God told Abraham, take your son, your beloved son, whom you love, and sacrifice him. Now fast forward 2,000 years and understand the love of the sacrifice that God made to sacrifice his only begotten son for on our behalf. That the word love, which is covers the entire Bible, God is love. Love is in almost every book after that, every chapter after that. But the very first time it appears in the Bible is right here, when he said, take your son Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him for me on the mountain that I will tell you. And then if we go to the end of the Bible, Revelation, which we're going to be reading tomorrow night, in the very, very beginning, chapter 2, verse 4, there's a warning. There's a warning to the church. We started off with love, but at the end, there's a warning, where the angel says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. The angel is telling one of the churches, you have left your first love. What is your first love? The covenant. What is your first love? The one who created you. What is your first love? The one who loved you first. So that idea of love covers the entire Bible. But it's very important for us to understand that the epitome of it, or the highlight of the word love, it happened in its first time. It's actually a biblical scholarly term. It's called the law of first mention. Whenever something is mentioned the first time in the Bible, it usually has some significance. There's a reason why this happened the first time here, because it defined what love is. And throughout the rest of the Bible, everything reflects back to the love that God had for us by sacrificing his only begotten son, by being incarnate, by living with us, by going through the passion, by dying on the cross and resurrection. So we ask ourselves this today. When God says to me, do you love me? Do you love me? And the answer, keep the covenant. Keep my covenant. If you love me, keep my covenant. I have never, ever, ever, ever not been faithful to my covenant. Am I faithful to his covenant? He was faithful to the covenant to the point of death. I ask myself now, am I faithful to my part of the covenant? When the service is finished tonight and I go out those doors, am I going to be faithful to that covenant? When Holy Week is over and the fast is over and I go back to my usual life of eating and drinking and doing whatever I was restraining myself from doing for the last 55 days, am I going to be keeping that covenant? It's the story of love. And I think Abuna Mark mentioned that a couple of days ago in his sermon as well. Throughout this entire week, we hear about so many things and there's so many messages and so many lessons, but the highlight of it is today and tomorrow in love, that he loved his only begotten son who died on the cross for us, and we get to be part of that covenant. We get to be part of that covenant, and by keeping our part of the covenant, we show him his love, and glory be to God forever.